but as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. So when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children, and I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, the scroll of a book was written on it. Then he spread it out before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Father, speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My message today is speak up. Speak up. And that's point number one this morning, is speak up. God challenges Ezekiel to stand up and speak things that he'd given him to say. For us, that's the gospel, that's talking about the moral issues of our day, that's talking about God's truth regarding the individual situations that we encounter. But the thing was, is Ezekiel is sent to speak no matter the outcome. God clearly tells Ezekiel, the outcome is not your concern. Obedience is your concern. Ezekiel, I'm sending you to speak to the nation of Israel, to speak to my people. Don't concern yourself with success. We need a major, massive shift in God's people from a success mentality, which is great if you're a business person. You need to have a good success mentality. You need to have a good results-based mentality, because there's nothing wrong with that mentality if you're running a business. But sometimes kingdoms collide. What makes good kingdom sense isn't always good business sense. Sometimes the two can walk together, and sometimes they conflict with one another. There's a lot of corporatism that sneaks into the church. And we need a major shift away from results-based mentality to an obedience-based mentality, that I'm going to do what God has commanded me to do, regardless of the outcome. Pastor Ben, what's your church growth method? I preach the Bible and I love these people and I pray. End of story. End of list. That's my method. And God is touching people, changing lives, and bringing people in. I'm not interested in like success, results, church growth mentality. I'm interested in an obedience mentality. I'm going to do what God has commanded me to do as a pastor that I find in the scriptures. And I'll do that. And that's worked out really well for me. Anybody got kids? Has disobedience worked out well for them? It doesn't work out. For none of us. Man, I remember getting my hide tanned by my mother repeatedly as a kid for disobedience. My friends, Results are not the final measuring stick. Jesus warns us about that. He goes, the false prophets had all the people, had all the success. The genuine prophets were scorned and hated and mistreated. He goes, don't look at the outward appearance of things. Listen to what they say. Watch the way they live. Obedience. God has put people in your pathway, and He's placed them there for you to have influence over them, for you to love them, to reach out to them, to speak to them. God has given you so many people. And He says, son of man, right, daughter, sons and daughters, open your mouth and speak. Don't be afraid. Speak out. Speak up. God, we're going to pray at the end of service that God is going to give you a voice. Now friends, this week, the news broke about a 27-year-old man, John Allen Chow. Anybody heard about that story? 27 years old, went to a forbidden island in the Sea of Bengal because he was moved to reach an unreached tribe of natives with the gospel. And in his journal, he wrote, I don't want to die, but they need the gospel. And I'm compelled to go. And they killed him. He knew the likelihood of dying was great. But he knew, despite his fears, despite his lack of desire to die, nobody wants to die. We have a God-given will to live. Death is not natural. Go all the way back to Genesis. Death is the result of sin. Death is not a part of nature. Death is the result of sin. We have a God-given will to live. Despite that, he overcame that with his love for Christ and his love for these people who are unreached with the gospel. He knew he had to go. And he is being criticized by both Christians and non-Christians, both for being foolish, for being stupid. Right, but the thing is, if this young man was on some sort of adventure for fame and fortune, he would be a hero. Well, he died on some great adventure for fame and fortune. It's unfortunate, but man, what a life he lived. Oh, this young man died trying to reach these people. What kind of an idiot would do that? I actually heard people say stuff like that. He's being called a fool. My friends, is Jim Elliot, who suffered the same fate. He was a missionary with Wycliffe, I believe. He says, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Go. Open your mouth. Don't be afraid. Speak up. God has given you his word. Don't be afraid. It's time to speak up. Number two, cut them to the heart. The gospel is offensive. It's not a call to be rude. We live in a day of false moral outrage. Complete false moral outrage. Hypocrisy on every side of whatever issue there is. But my friends, it's time for God's people to step up and speak His word, His truth. And let His word begin to cut people to the heart. The gospel is offensive enough without us being a jerk, right? You ever met those Christians that were rude? I run into them. But we need to speak the things that God has given us to say, whether it's the gospel or addressing issues with people according to His word, because the man and woman of God has the power and authority of God on them. God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. And His word will cut into their hearts. See, we live in a day when, unfortunately, people continue in unrepentant sin, untouched and unscathed somehow, and continuing to resist the Holy Spirit. But the genuine gospel produces two things, either a riot or a revival, but never complacency. The genuine anointing preaching of God's word creates either repentance or hatred. In this day of constant outrage, we desperately need God's anointing, which is his power and authority on us, to begin to speak up, and to speak on issues and speak to people, regardless of the outcome, but to speak. And there's two examples. Acts chapter 2. Peter gets up and he begins to preach. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen begins to preach. And what does it say in both circumstances? It cut them to the heart. My friends, I always assume that I'm preaching my final message. Not because I have a death wish, but because tomorrow is not promised, either to me or you. I assume either this is my last time to preach or your last time to hear. And I always want it to count. For years and years and years, I began to try to live with that eternal mindset and mentality. So if I walk out the door for the last time, have I told my family I love them? Did I, you know, are things in order? And, you know, how am I living? What am I doing? Right? If this is my last time to preach to you, because I don't know. I just always assume I'm not making it to the end of the day. So I better be careful how I live and how I speak. And that's challenging enough. But we live in such an hour when we need God's people to stand up and speak. Because we desperately need a move of the Holy Spirit to rip through this nation. And I'm not offended when sinners act like sinners. I've said that many times. I am not offended by sinners acting like sinners. They're unconverted. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They do what they naturally do. That's their natural state. I'm not offended by that. I don't know why Christians get offended when sinners act like sinners. Why don't you get your act together? They can't. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're unregenerated. My friends, I always pray. I always seek. I want my words to carry weight and power. I want them to be impactful, to give life to people. I want to encourage people. Some people don't need encouragement. They need a kick. But I always want my words to have weight. And I pray that each week that you get cut to the heart so that you can be fully equipped to do all God has for you to do. And I don't just mean cut to the heart so you feel bad, but that God's word would just cut right into you. God's word would come in and do what it needs to do in your life. And I don't know what he needs to do in your life. All I can see is the outside, but I don't know what's going on in the inside. And I just trust that God's word is going to come and hit you right where you are. We need to speak up. We need our words to have power to cut into the hearts of people. And lastly, and I mentioned it earlier, we need obedience over results. The Holy Spirit convicts. His word will cut. It's a two-edged sword. I get up week after week and preach, and I have no control over how people respond. I don't. And you know, when I came to the understanding that that wasn't my concern was just to obey, that really took the pressure off. I'm just going to get up and be faithful, and I'll let God worry about the results. Have you ever tried to nag someone into obedience? Have you ever tried to argue with somebody and just go at them and badger them until they get their act together? Has that ever worked? It doesn't work. We just have to pray, we have to speak truth, and just let the Holy Spirit do the work he needs to do in the hearts of people. And God tells Ezekiel, whether they listen to you or they refuse to hear you, your only concern is to speak up. Your only concern is to do what I've asked you to do. Just, Ezekiel, I've given you the job to speak. I didn't give you the job to get them saved. I gave you the job just to get up and speak and do what I've asked you to do. To break down the two references I had earlier, in chapter 2 of Acts, Peter preaches to 3,000 people. Well, he preaches and 3,000 people, it says, are cut to the heart. They cry out, what must they do to be saved? They repent, they're saved and baptized, all in one day. 3,000 people in one shot. Read through the rest of Acts, it doesn't always work out so well for Peter. There's other times he spoke up and ended up in prison. Same with Paul. Sometimes you can do, right? We somehow reduce like the sovereign moves of the Holy Spirit to a methodology. Because God did something or it worked one time doesn't always mean it worked another time. God keeps me on my toes. I just have to be able to be led and sense the Holy Spirit, because I will plan and I prepare and I pray, and no doubt on Sunday morning comes, God throws me a curveball. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen speaks before the Jewish High Council, and it says his message cuts them to the heart. But what happens next? They plug their ears, cry out with a loud voice, and as an angry mob, drag him outside of the city and stone him to death. Both preached, both spoke to the Jews, both spoke the gospel, both preached Christ, but the results were different. And neither one of those men had control over the outcome. We have no control over the reactions and responses of other people. All we can do is worry about ourselves. I tell that to my kids all the time. Worry about yourself. But my sister's doing, I don't care what your sister's doing right now. I know what you're doing right now. And you need to be doing what you were told. You ever had that conversation with your parents? Ever had that conversation with the kids? You do what I told you to do. Stop worrying about everybody else. We have no control over the reactions and responses of people. We must concern ourselves with obedience to God. That's why he says, Ezekiel, you speak what I say to you, and whether or not they listen to you is not your problem. That's none of your concern, Ezekiel. You just do what I've asked you to do. See, the measuring stick of success in the kingdom is far different from the measuring stick of success in the world. God will judge you by obedience, not results. Did you obey? Like the men with the talents. Go, here's some of my money, go and do something with it. Increase it some way. Do business while I'm gone with it. And once he challenged the last guy that had the one talent that buried it, he goes, you should at least put it in the bank when I had a little interest. Should have done anything. Even a little obedience is better than no obedience. Right? He should have done a little something with it. But what did you do? Nothing. Not one darn thing. But master, if they listen to you or not is not your concern. You obey. He says, obey and speak to them as I direct you. And whether they listen to you or not, one day they will know that I sent a prophet among them. Because God's heart is to save people, not destroy people. And I don't know if anybody in this church has ever said it. I hope California breaks off and falls into the sea. What kind of a demonic attitude is that? Shouldn't we pray for revival? Shouldn't we pray for their souls? That's the same attitude Peter and John had. Lord, they wouldn't listen to us. Let's call fire down from heaven and kill them. He's like, we've been walking together for 2 years. You've been sitting and learning from me, and that's the best you come up with? Like, seriously? One day they'll realize that God sent a prophet to warn them and to try to lead them back to Him, and that they rejected His mercy. Jesus said they're condemned already. Those that have not believed in Him are already condemned. We're all condemned because we're sinners. We're born with the death sentence already written over our life and signed. Our death warrant has already been signed the moment we're born. We're born into sin. Now, I'm not saying little babies go to hell. Don't mistake that. But we're born with that wicked nature inside of us, with that sentence of death already on us. And the Bible says His wrath abides on sinners already. And His heart is to rescue. His heart is to get them, to save them, to cause them to turn. Later on, He warns Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, if you do not warn a wicked man of his evil way, and he dies, you're responsible. But if you warn him and he dies in his sin, you're not responsible for that." Read the book of Ezekiel. The whole thing hinges on this. Ezekiel, you just do what I said for you to do. Obey. God's measuring stick for you today is, are you obedient? Not, are you successful? Right? Don't come offering the offering of Cain this morning when God demands a blood sacrifice and you come in with a fruit basket. Right? You heard that, was it Francis Chan? Pastor Francis Chan. Somebody came up to him after church one Sunday. "Pastor, I didn't really care for worship today." "Oh, that's okay. We weren't worshiping you." Right? You worship God your way and I'll worship Him His. Right? Don't come offering, like, so many people want to come before God. "Look at my obedience, God." Like King Saul, "I come back from fulfilling the word of the Lord. I said, God said to destroy everything, and I hear the bleeding of cattle. Well, I saved the best because I want to offer it as a sacrifice." "Well, that's not what I asked of you to do. I said to kill it, destroy it all. And you kept back the best for a sacrifice." "Well, it's not what I asked you to do." We need a mindset of obedience. I'm just going to do what God has asked me to do. Whatever the cost, whatever the outcome, I'm all in. That's it. Christianity is so simple. He is God, I'm not. I do what He says, and I get to enjoy eternity with Him forever. And not on my own merits, on His own merits, on the merits of Jesus. So number one, as we wrap up, do you need to repent this morning to get right with God? If you are here this morning, you do not know Jesus. Or if you're calling the shots of your own life, you're offering a fruit basket when He's demanded the blood of a lamb, right? You're bringing to God something He's not asked of you. You're not walking in obedience. Let's just bow our heads for a second. Number one, do you need to get right with God for the first time? If you need to get saved this morning, just lift up your hand. I always want to make an opportunity for people to get saved. Next, if you just need to get right with God, you're just calling the shots of your own life. Maybe you kind of have some religious affiliation, yet you grew up around church, but man, you need to get right with God today. Lift up your hand. Amen. Just take a moment. You just begin to talk to the Lord. Those that lifted up your hand. Lord, we just want to be right. We want to come to You on Your terms. We want to come through the blood of Jesus this morning. And we just surrender. Just surrender this morning. God, I'm all in. And lastly, I just want to pray for those that want a fresh touch from God. God wants to give you a voice today. He wants to put some weight on your words. Just fill you fresh anew with a fresh touch of His Spirit. I'm just going to invite you to come. I just want to pray over you. If you just need a fresh touch from the Lord this morning, God, give me a voice. God, give me Your words. God, I just If you just need the Lord, this is going to invite you to come. Joel, maybe you could just come and play softly. Just going to just pray just a fresh surrender. And for God just to come and touch us today. Lord, give me a voice.